Check out my new book, Coping Courageously, a heart-centered guide for navigating a loved one's illness without losing yourself. It's appropriate for you as a clinician, for your patients, and for anyone you know who has a seriously ill loved one or an aging parent. Check it out and tell a friend. Welcome to the Integrative Palliative Podcast. I'm Dr. Delia Caramonti. This podcast is for physicians who take care of patients with serious illnesses like cancer, dementia, advanced renal, cardiac, or neurologic disease. We are all about patient and family well-being, but also medical team and physician well-being. You'll learn things to help you heal your patients and yourself, and I am really glad you're here. Let's get started. Hello, I'm Dr. Delia Caramonti, and this is the Integrative Palliative Podcast. Welcome. So our episode today is entitled, But I Only Have 15 Minutes, because I hear this all the time from people, and I get it. Sure, I'd love to give integrative medicine type visits to patients, but I only have 15 minutes, and so it's impossible, which I totally get. And I wish nobody had to see a patient in 15 minutes and that everybody had an hour with a patient like we should. But I know that's not real life. So today we're going to talk about 10 ways that you can put the integrative approach into your practice, even if you have really short visits, 15-minute visits or so with your patients. It can be done, I swear. Okay, so we're going to find 10 ways, 10 ways. The first one is that you are going to intentionally generate your healing presence. That's number one. So we've talked about this before in other podcast episodes, but it's really important, actually, that you get your own house in order before you walk into the room with a patient. And it's not just because, oh, it's nicer for the patient that way, or it's better, you'll be a better doctor that way. Yes, all those things are true, of course. But also, if you're really present, the patient feels heard, and they know, they feel that they have your attention. And if they have your attention, they don't have to work so hard and talk so much and tell so many stories to get the feeling that you're really there with them. So really checking in with yourself and calming yourself and moving yourself into the present moment and bringing your healing presence not only is therapeutic for the patient and also for you, but it also can make the visit go more efficiently. Because if right away you're there, you're with the patient, you're in the room, you're not distracted by something that just happened or something you have to do, or some meeting you have to go to later, or some fight you had with your spouse, you are in the room with the patient, with your whole self, they relax because they feel it, and they don't have to work so hard to get your attention, so their history can be shorter, so that you get to exactly what you need to get to without a lot of kind of effort trying to get your attention. So number one is intentionally generate healing presence. And if you're not sure how to do that, go back and listen to my previous podcast episode on healing presence, and I'll tell you how to do it. But the basic idea is center yourself before you walk into the room. So sometimes people use a trick, like when you're washing your hands or when you're using hand sanitizer, during that time, you're focusing all your attention on the feeling of the water or the feeling of the hand sanitizer, bringing your attention to the actual moment that you're in and letting all those other chatter, mishmash stuff that's in our brain go. Focus all your attention on your hands and how it feels, how it smells. If there are any sounds, focus all your attention there, then walk into the room. That helps you generate healing presence by being in the moment with the patient. So that's number one, generate healing presence. Number two is use reflective listening, which we talked about recently, to tighten up the history. So if the person is telling you a story, reflect back to them what you hear. Oh, so what I hear you saying is that work has been really stressful lately, and it seems like that might be making your headaches worse. Rather than saying, okay, like cutting them off, that doesn't make people feel good. And it makes them want to keep talking to tell you more things to make sure that you really understand how bad it is for them or what they're experiencing. Use reflective listening, where you reflect back to them what you heard, so that once they feel heard, they don't have to say the same story again five more times because they feel heard. So you can say, okay, let me check in and make sure that I'm understanding what you're saying. It sounds like your daughter is struggling at school and work has been stressful. And because of that, you feel like your pain might be worse and your sleep is not so good. Did I get that right? So you can do that even after just listening to not that much of the story, because often people tell, in a sense, the same story over and over again because they're trying to get you to understand. So when you've started out by being super present with them, really listening, and then reflecting back what you heard, the history taking part can actually be shorter, but you're still getting all the really good information and the patient feels heard. So that's two. Number three is you can do some brief counseling during your physical exam. Not the part where you're using a stethoscope, obviously, but if you're doing a musculoskeletal exam, if you're examining the abdomen or the skin, you can do some short counseling then. One of the things you can learn are really short little nuggets of counseling that you can plug into places where you have like a minute or two. So things like, let me tell you how the stress response works, or let me tell you what can happen to your nervous system over time when you have had a traumatic experience as a child or other times in your life. Let me tell you how stress can be related to headaches. Let me tell you about sleep and exercise. So you can have these little nuggets in your brain that you can just pull out that have to do with kind of the whole person, mind, body, integrative approach to counseling. And you can do some of those while you're doing a physical exam. So you're not actually adding to the time of the visit. Okay, so that was number three. Number four is you can decide in advance which modalities you're going to use in your treatment plans and for what. So rather than just trying to figure it out on the fly, you can know in advance when you've done maybe some learning about it. I think I'm going to recommend acupuncture for anxiety, neuropathy, nausea from chemo, and depression. I've looked at the evidence. I think those things are helpful. And so when you are clear about what you recommend when, if you have somebody who comes in for depression and they say, I don't want to take antidepressants, you can say acupuncture is evidence supported for depression. And I recommend as part of your treatment plan that we send you for acupuncture. So know in advance what you can recommend where, and you can do the counseling in 30 seconds. Number five, try some complementary modalities yourself, because if you do it yourself, you will be so much better at explaining it. And you'll know what works, what it feels like, what the experience is, how to talk about it. So try acupuncture for yourself. Try medical massage for your back pain or your neck pain. Try meditation. Try some guided imagery apps. Try Tai Chi or Qigong or yoga. Try positive psychology. Try somatic therapies. So there are all kinds of things that you can try. And I highly recommend that you just here and there when you can try a new thing. So you see what it is. You get a sense of what it's like. You can think about where you might put it into your practice, and you'll be really good at explaining it to patients. Number six, have pre-prepared patient education materials. So you can have printed materials, or you could make videos that you email to the patients, or have somewhere on your website that they can take a look at. So you could have materials on indications for acupuncture or non-pharmacologic ways to manage pain or the relationship between exercise and depression, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you have that stuff pre-done, you can just know in your head, okay, this person, I think they're depressed. They either don't want meds or they're not managed adequately on meds. I want them to use acupuncture. So I'm going to say, hey, acupuncture shown to help depression. I'm going to refer you to this wonderful acupuncturist. And here's the patient education material that shows some evidence for why acupuncture may be helpful for depression. So that's it. That didn't take long to do that kind of counseling. Number seven is to use templates. So you probably already are using some templates in your electronic medical record, but you can add extra templates to get some integrative kind of history that you might want to have. For example, major stressors, support people, nutritional habits, exercise or movement habits, connection to spirituality, goals, values, etc. So the things that might be part of an integrative care history, you can make much simpler to remember to ask the questions, but also simpler to organize the information. So it doesn't feel like a novel that you have to read, but it is easy to document in this template. Number eight, set up strong community referrals. So if you have found an excellent acupuncturist, an excellent medical massage person, an excellent osteopathic physician who does osteopathic manipulative therapy, et cetera, in the community, then you don't have to do really extensive counseling. You can tell the patient, I think that your headaches are related to this increased muscle tension in your neck, and I want you to go see this medical massage person, and here's their number. So you can employ all of these different complementary modalities without having them in your office, but it's much better to have a connection with a specific person as opposed to saying to the patient, like, well, you should try acupuncture, so go find one. When you do that, they won't do it, and then they won't get better if that was going to be the modality that was going to help. So it's really helpful to intentionally set up strong community referrals. And that may mean going to the person's office. And like I said before, maybe you even try them out. Go to a massage person and find someone that you love, and then that can be the person that you refer patients to. Number 9 is get feedback from your patients about the things that you recommend to them, because sometimes you'll find that certain conditions you sent a patient and you thought, you know, there's no way that's going to help their, you know, that acupuncture is not really going to help their peripheral neuropathy. And it really did. And if it really helped some patients, it might really help other patients. So you're learning along the way. Yes, there's some evidence to support these modalities for particular conditions, but also medicine's an art, of course. And we all learn as we go from our experience. So be sure and get feedback back from your patients. Both, did the modality help, but also, did they like the person? Was it a good office? Were they happy with that referral? Number 10, keep up with the research with a focus on safety. Because what you want to know first is this modality safe? So some modalities, complementary medicine modalities, are extraordinarily safe. Reiki and other biofield therapies are extraordinarily safe. Meditation, as long as you're not doing it while you're driving, is quite safe. Guided imagery generally is quite safe. And so some modalities you can feel very comfortable with. And if you don't know the whole evidence base for all the complementary modalities, focus first on what might be unsafe. What would you not want patients to do? So people with an active thought disorder, for example, shouldn't probably do guided imagery, at least not without the guidance of a psychiatrist. People with liver failure, there are some dietary supplements that they definitely shouldn't take. People who are taking Coumadin, you have to check other dietary supplements and make sure that there aren't interactions. People who have extraordinarily poor lung function probably shouldn't have acupuncture of the chest. So it's important to know the things that you should be cautious about, but it doesn't mean that you have to throw out all complementary modalities. You just have to know the specifics of what you need to be cautious about and what you can feel very safe recommending to your patients or supporting your patients on if they choose to do it. Okay, so 10 ways that you can put an integrative approach into your practice, even if you have 15-minute visits. I'm going to review them. They are: number 1, intentionally generate your healing presence. Number 2, use reflective listening, which will help shorten your history. Number 3, do little bits of counseling during your physical exam. Number 4, decide in advance which modalities you will put into your treatment plans and for what. Number 5, try some of these modalities yourself so that you will be really good at explaining them to patients and you'll understand what they are. Number 6, pre-prepare some patient education materials, printed materials or video materials. Number 7, use templates to help you remember to take a full integrative history in a really time-efficient way. Number 8, set up strong community referrals with complementary practitioners like acupuncturists, massage therapists, manual medicine practitioners, etc. Number 9, get feedback from your patients so you know what works, what they liked, what they didn't like, so it can inform your practice as you go on. And number 10, keep up with the research, keeping your eyes open for new research on complementary modalities with a focus on what is safe. Okay, look at that. All of the ways that you can put this integrative approach into your practice, even if you have 15 minutes per patient. So your homework for the week is to pick something and try to do it in one or two or three of your visits. So pick one of those 10 things and try to add that to your treatment plans. Add that to the way that you care for patients. Okay. Thank you so much for listening, for coming back every week. I'm so grateful that you're here. And I want to spread the word. So I'm really going to ask you for a favor, which is to write a review. If you don't mind, if you could take time this week to write me a review, I would so appreciate it on Apple Podcasts or wherever else. But it would be really great if you would leave a review because it helps me and it helps spread the word. Thank you so much. And I will see you next week. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Integrative Palliative Podcast brought to you by the Institute for Integrative Palliative Medicine. If you find value in this podcast, please do two things for me. Number one, share with a colleague. This is how we spread the word, and I really need your help. And number two, please do leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It would really mean the world to me. You can find me at integrativepalliative.com and also on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. Come find me, reach out, send me an email, and come check out on the website our upcoming physician training programs. It's been great to have you here, and I'll see you next Thursday.